Hello, welcome back to Better Every Day. Darren Root and John Mitchell back with you.
John, how are you?
I'm well. I'm excited to, you brought some props today.
I did. This is some, we're going old school.
No kidding, man.
Man, this, in my den, there are certain things that I keep. It feels like forever.
Yeah.
And this is one of them.
I guess so. So if you're listening to us and not watching us, Darren's got this binder that's like, I don't know, 5 inches, 6 inches.
It's thick. It's thick.
A thick binder, which we're going to talk about today. I'm glad you brought it. The pages are yellowing. It looks a little brittle. It looks like something I should handle with those white gloves from a museum, you know?
You know, when I, I'm trying to, I should have dated something on here.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
See any dates.
I'm sure we didn't look hard enough maybe yet, but you know, I was a 7 Habits of Highly Effective People facilitator for a number of years in my spare time.
Was that like early 90s?
I would say. So which would have put me in my early 30s.
Yeah.
So I would say early to mid 90s.
Okay.
And, you know, Covey was so organized that as a facilitator, they gave you all the material to go out and teach the 7 Habits. And this was my binder from those days of teaching.
We have been unashamed at how much we love Covey and still pay attention to these 7 Habits because they're just timeless.
Every one of the 7 Habits plus all of the other principles that he has still apply to me so much every single day. When I'm screwing my life up on a regular basis, I go back to one of these principles and it's because, or one of these habits, it's because
you're missing it.
I'm missing it.
So it was published in 1989, so it probably was early 90s for you by the time. Because I remember it. I was young, but I remember it being a craze. I mean, it was a big deal.
Well, yeah. You and I chatted earlier. It was Stephen was probably one of the first thought leaders.
Yeah.
That, you know, in sort of the modern era, where, you know, he was just across the country and he was affecting corporate America. He was affecting marriage counselors and the way they taught people. He was affecting churches because a lot of this was being, you know, taught in churches, which was actually the first place that I think the first place I ran across the 7 Habits was in marriage counseling.
Marriage counseling. Yeah, that's what I remember it.
But the first 3-day session that I went to was at the church.
Mm.
Not because the church was doing it, but because it was the facility. But it's been a while.
It's been a long time. And I love the thought that there are some things in our life that are just true that we can point back to from decades ago. And I think about Covey and how big a deal he was in the early 90s. You know, he was Simon Sinek before YouTube.
For sure.
Before Instagram, before social media. So if you're going to be a thought leader in the early 90s, you had to have something really profound to say.
He was counseling presidents at the time.
Yeah.
And head of GM and, you know, big organizations. But I had the opportunity to be with him a few times. He was a huge presence.
He was just a large person.
Well, no, I mean, yeah, physically he was, I'm going to say 6'5".
Yeah.
Bald, big man, not heavy, just a big man. And when he walked into the room, you not only knew he was there because he had that physical large presence, but his personal large presence was incredible. But you know what I'm a bit afraid of is a book like this had such an impact on my life personally and still does today, but so many people, because Stephen's been dead now for a while, so many people are unaware that this content even exists.
You know, I look through your binder here and look at these pages of, you know, just the top of this page I'm looking at right now, the maturity continuum. I remember just what a profound way of naming something. I love words. I love concepts because they give us this common way to talk about things that we feel and know in the deepest part of who we are. And, you know, these 7 habits are something that, he didn't make these up. These were all things he just put voice to and put some organization around.
You know, Stephen, just a little history on him, was a professor. I'll probably get this wrong, but I thought it was at BYU.
That's what I saw, yeah.
So he was an academic, and he studied wisdom literature.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's more wisdom literature than just the Bible, but the Bible certainly fits into wisdom literature. But Stephen studied all kinds of wisdom literature, and he sort of narrowed down some of the core things from history into these seven habits. So again, I don't think this is something he made up. I think that he studied the wisdom of the ages and said, what are those things? And he organized it in such a way that he could explain it to me and I understood it. Mm.
And you got excited enough about it that you were traveling the country.
I was.
And teaching. And which is what got you into kind of what you're doing now.
There's no question. This was pre-RootWorks, mm-hmm. Pre-running CPA Practice Advisor magazine. I was running an accounting firm and was probably a little anxious to do other things. Mm-hmm. And this one just, it had such a profound impact on my life through marriage counseling that I think I just wanted to tell other people about it. And then I found out that I loved helping people think through things. And that's kind of
here we are.
I mean, that's what got me going.
Now we're doing a podcast.
Yeah, now we're
Thanks, Stephen.
Yeah.
Well, what I want to do today is I just want to go through these seven habits. If this is a book you've read or a concept that you're aware of, I would like to remind you of it today. But also, Darren, I bet there's a large part of our audience who maybe have heard of Stephen Covey or maybe have heard of the seven habits, but haven't thought about them, haven't actually understood what they are.
They probably thought it was a business book.
Yeah.
And didn't pique their interest. This is a life book.
Yeah.
This is a personal book. You know, when you think about, like on this page, John, it says the maturity continuum. So mm-hmm. when you think about that, I can't help but to think about Richard Rohr a little bit. Yeah. First half of life, second half of life, this whole concept of maturity. And how we, and then the word continuum, which is, you know, evolving.
Yeah.
So our maturity evolving from first half of life to second half of life, this stuff doesn't live in a vacuum. This stuff is kind of universal.
It is.
But I love the concept that he did name it the maturity. So how I get better over time as I mature. And it's this ongoing process of constantly working through these things. And Stephen actually broke these habits down into really three different sections. The first section is called a private victory. Mm. And we'll talk about the habits that make up a private victory. And then there's this concept of a public victory, which Stephen would say is higher than a private victory, but you can't have public victory without a private victory. And then it all wraps, and so there's three habits in the public victory, and then it's sort of encompassed. The whole thing in a circle is encompassed by sharpening the saw. The saw. That was my Bedford accent coming out. But you know, it's this idea of constantly getting better.
Yeah.
And maturing. So
I love it. You know, the concept of this podcast, the concept of everything we're trying to do in terms of getting better every day is kind of rooted in these foundational seven things.
For sure.
So I love that we're getting back to it. We'll see how many we get through on this podcast today. Yeah. We may make a couple podcasts out of this today because these are just so important. What I'd like to do is I would like to go through each one of these, have you kind of give us a little bit of a brief based on your, you might hear Darren get into presentation mode from the early 90s here because he's going to jump right back in. But then I would like to talk about it just for what is the current perspective on that in terms of COVID, in terms of the technologies that have changed and the way that things have moved forward. And I'll kind of address it from a brand new perspective and let you tell us about the kind of the heart of it from the beginning.
Perfect.
So the first one, oh my gosh, I think we've done podcasts on this very thing. It has been the heart of a lot of the conversations we've had over the years since we've been friends. And it's about the first habit is be proactive. This thought that life doesn't just happen to you, that you got to go get it.
So again, keep in mind that we're talking about a private victory. And there's three habits that make that up. And the first of the three habits, what we mean by private victory is you have to take responsibility. You have to realize it starts with you.
Yeah.
It doesn't start with somebody else.
Man, that's profound in and of itself.
Yeah. And the very first habit that Stephen talks about is this idea of being proactive. You have to realize it is your choice.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the core components I learned from being proactive is there's this space between stimulus and response. Something happens, you respond to that. And it's in that space that you get a real that you have to realize that you get to choose. You know, unlike grabbing a dog's nose and the dog biting you, the dog probably didn't have that space. It was more of a reaction. Where if your spouse says something to you that doesn't set right, again, remember, I saw this in
marriage counseling,
for the very first time. But there's this space in how you respond to that, and that is your power to choose your response, and that is being proactive. Once you understand that, you know, Viktor Frankl, was in. You know, Nazi Germany, was in a concentration camp, was a Jewish psychiatrist, I think was Victor's background. And he said that the last human right that he had, because the Germans had taken all of took everything away, you know, killed his family, taken everything away from him. But the last thing that they couldn't take away was his ability to react. You know, his freedom to choose how he reacted to what they were doing.
Man, it's so profound. And, you know, you think about that private victory section. And to me, this is where it all starts. It's internal. And it's very easy when life gets busy, when, you know, everything gets chaotic, to blame other people for something that's going on in your life that you don't want to go the way it's going. And to be able to start with yourself, to be able to say, there is a space between what's happening to me right now and what happens next. And it separates us from the animals. It separates us from other things that we don't have to act out of fight or flight, that we can choose.
Yeah, just realize there is that space. And arguably, the more you can lengthen that space.
Yeah.
You know, versus being a fraction of a second to being 2 seconds,
mm-hmm.
then you can actually think, how do I want to respond? You know, how does my response impact me as a human being?
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody tells an off-color joke, you have the ability to have some space between the stimulus, the joke, and your response to that. And then what does that say about you as the kind of human being that you want to be? And that plays out in everything that happens to you all day long, every day. So that's habit number one, is just being proactive, realizing that you get to choose. And there's lots of things you can blame your choices on, whether it was the way your parents raised you or the culture that you were in or whatever it is. There's all these factors, I understand. But at the end of the day, you get to choose.
One of the things that's a part of this first one too that I still find profound, and I think it's because of how I deal with anxiety in my life, but, you know, Covey talks about focusing on the things that you can control, which may sound like a no-brainer to you, because you may not deal with the control issues that I've learned that I have in anxiety, but this is profound to me, to be able to get up in the morning and say, there are some things that will happen today that I have no control over. I have a control over the response.
You call that the circle of concern versus the circle of, I don't
remember what the second circle was, but I remember him saying, yeah, you've got it right here, don't you?
I do have it somewhere in
here. If you're listening to this podcast, you can hear the actual pages turning as Darren flips through them. Boy, it's not something you were used to hearing
Google,
anymore.
Where's Google when you need it?
There's no search for this thing.
One of them, it's like, you have this big circle that's called circle of concern, I think. And then the smaller one, I'll screw this up, but I think it's like circle of influence.
Maybe we should ask somebody who was actually a facilitator for this. Or
Prevagen hasn't kicked in yet.
There you go.
But, you know, we spend so much time in our circle of concern, which are things we can't do a lot about versus, you know, the circle that we can really influence.
Yeah. I love this first one. I mean, I think I could live in this be proactive. Mm-hmm. But the thought that this is still part of the private victory that he talks about, I think we want to make sure and remind you that be proactive is the first one. The second one, man, this is probably the one I've heard the most in my life, maybe from you. But even my mom has talked about this for my whole life. I've heard this everywhere I've gone, and I didn't realize until I met you that this came from Covey, but begin with the end in mind.
Yeah. It's, so as you think about your private victory, which is essentially, you know, I wouldn't say, using the word control is not the right word, but sort of getting control of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
This understanding of what you want to be in this world is, goes the ambulance.
Yeah.
What you want to be in this world, if you're going to choose your reaction and be proactive, you got to know what you're choosing for.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the great exercises that Stephen takes you through, or the Seven Habits takes you through, is this idea that you're standing at your casket, you know, at your own funeral, and you have all these relationships, some of them really close, some of them less close to you personally, and wanting to think through what you wanted those people to say about you. The Seven Habits actually takes you through all those different relationships. What do you want your spouse to say? What do you want your kids to say? What do you want your brother to say? You know, you go through all these different relationships, and you ask yourself, what do you want these people to have said about your life? Man, that gives you, starts giving you insight into the kind of human being that you want to be.
I'll never forget where I was when I did that exercise. I was sitting in the house that my wife and I had just bought in Beloit, Wisconsin. We barely got into the house financially. We could not afford this house. We loved it. It was still the biggest house we've ever had. We had no kids at the time, and we couldn't afford furniture. So I was sitting on a beanbag in the middle of the living room when I wrote this exercise.
Awesome.
And I remember
a beanbag. Did you say
that's all we had? I probably had to put that on my credit card to get a beanbag at that point. And I sat there, and I remember the smell of that house. I remember it so profoundly because of the first time in my life anybody had ever asked me to think about what my legacy would be. Hmm. What will your kids say about you? At that point, I didn't even have kids. What will your wife one day say about you? What will people say about you at your funeral? And man, if you haven't done this, this is one of the most profound exercises you can possibly do. Because, I mean, what he talks about is defining success in this chapter. And the idea that, you know, when you're in your 20s, you think of success as money, you think of it as travel, you think of it all these things. The older you get, the closer you get to realizing that, man, those things aren't as important to me as I thought they were in the moment. This is where I came up with the phrase that I use all the time, Darren: people matter most.
Yeah.
In the end, that's what I decided when I filled this out and I sat in that beanbag chair in that room, is that in the end, people matter most. And I want people to think of me in that way.
And that drives. So by understanding that, it drives the decisions that you make each day. You know, it's, how would you like to get to the end of your life and realize that your ladder was actually leaning against the wrong wall, which is certainly one of Covey's things that he talked a lot about, which was, you're climbing the wrong ladder.
Yeah.
You get to the top and you realize, I've made a bunch of money, but my kids are a mess and don't like me.
Yeah.
Your ladder, and that ends up mattering to you most as you get older. You realize your ladder was leaning against the wrong wall. So as you think about this personal victory, knowing that you get to choose, figuring out what it is that you're choosing for are the first two habits to sort of understand.
And the third one, the kind of the end of his conversation around the private victory, is about putting first things first. It's about prioritizing. It sounds a little mundane almost to say now, but when he said it, it is the reason we think of it as a cliche now.
Because do you remember what the exercise was?
I vaguely remember the exercise. All I can think of is all the people that did the golf ball and the thing in the jars with the rocks and putting the right size rocks.
That was the exercise.
That was the rocks. Yeah.
So the exercise was that you had a jar.
Yeah.
And you had different size rocks in there. Mm-hmm. And each of those rocks, they were actually laying out on the table.
Mm-hmm.
Each of those rocks represented different relationships that you had, and they were different sizes. And you would identify, is this big rock? Is this my relationship with my spouse? Is that important to me as I think about my end in mind? Because remember, you've just done the exercise of begin with the end in mind.
Yeah.
So I want my spouse to say really great things about me, you know, at my funeral. That's how you're thinking about this at the time. And that's this big rock. So do you put that in first, or do you put all the little rocks in first and there's not room for that big rock at the end? So, you know, is that tax meeting I had to go to, or, you know, those tax returns I had to get out, are those big rocks or those little rocks? You know, they may be different for different people.
Yeah.
Right. But at the end, there's only so many rocks that go into that jar, which represents our day or our life. Which ones are you going to put in first?
Yeah.
Because what you might find is that you know, it's easy to put the small rocks in first, but there's no room for the big rocks at the end of that. So put first things first, which was put the big rocks in first. So you made sure you had them. And if you can be proactive, know where you want to go, begin with the end in mind, and put the big rocks in first, do first things first. If you can do those three things well, that's your private victory.
Whew. You know, it just hit me. One of the things that we did not talk about as we introduced this subject is the word habit and why Stephen chose that word.
Yeah.
When I think about this first section, it's easy to think, oh, that's about my calendar. Oh, prioritizing. That's about getting the right things on my calendar. But in the long run, I know this is not about my calendar.
Yeah, because he could have said the seven principles.
He could have called it principles. He could have called it a lot of things.
Right.
He said, this is about habits. This is about the way you behave and how you think, you know, what you do with the things that are in your mind on a daily basis. And, you know, I think it's a good place to end this first of two episodes on the seven habits is to, you know, just listening to you, Darren, talk about the rocks just made me think, what do you do when you get a moment, maybe it's during a podcast, when you look at your jar and you realize, dang it, I started with the small rocks. My jar is almost full and I don't have room for the things that are most important. Like, there is a moment where you have to dump the jar. You have to stop and you have to say, I've got this wrong. I wasn't proactive. I just reacted to whatever was in front of me. And it caused me to not think about the end in mind and the successes that I want at the end. And I filled my jar full of little stuff that I don't care about.
You know, I pulled this binder off the shelf last night. And what I haven't done yet, John, is in the front of it here was my 5-year plan. You know, the actions I was going to take, the roles I had in my life, from my spiritual life to my diet to my exercise to financial, those were my personal life. And then I had my role as a husband, you know, and, you know, household and date nights and quiet time and role as a father and as a family.
Gosh.
All this as a business owner. So what I haven't done is gone back after 25 years. Or however long it's been since I did that. It's probably been 20 years.
Yeah.
And said, how'd I do?
Mm.
You know, were my daily decisions, was I proactive? Was I actually beginning with the end of mind? And did I put first things first? I actually feel, without looking through that, and maybe you and I can look through this together at some point, or maybe we'll even talk about it.
Yeah.
I feel like it lines up,
but
it wouldn't have. Had I not understood the seven habits.
Wow, that's profound.
Everything's not going to line up, but I feel like big picture.
Hmm. You know, I think as you listen to this today, wherever you found yourself, whatever your jar's full of, I think the idea of better every day is that that it begins with you, that this is your choice. Life isn't happening to you, that you have a choice and that you can start over at any time. If you have filled your jar full of the wrong things, if you have ended up drifting towards something that isn't what you want in the end, and if you have lost this sense of proactivity, you can choose it. If you're sitting in the car right now on the way to work, you don't have to do it another day.
Yeah.
And the thing I love about Stephen is this sense that this is attainable. This works.
It works.
These are habits that you can include in your life that will affect your relationships, affect your work, affect your life in every single way. And that's why we wanted to bring it forward. It deserves to live even if the binder starts to fall apart.
In the old days, my advice, John, would have been go to Barnes & Noble.
Yeah.
Go to the self-help section and find the 7 habits.
Yeah.
Today, if you're there, go to Audible.
Yep.
And download the 7 habits and listen to it.
You can listen to it.
Or go to Amazon and...
FranklinCovey.com too has a whole bunch of stuff out there.
Lots
some free
of stuff
and assessments and all kinds of cool stuff. You can still buy binders if you want.
So Covey Leadership was the name of the company when Stephen was there. And before his death, he sold it to, you remember the Franklin Day Planners?
Yeah.
And it became Franklin Covey.
Yep.
So Franklin Covey owns all the content.
I think my mom's still using those day planners. So
it's awesome.
Hey, thanks for listening today. I hope you heard something that helps you get better every day. And until then, we'll see you next time.
Thanks, John.